Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back. Took a break, an unintended break for Hanukkah. Last week was the birth of my nephew. Now we're back to regular life. The winter has arrived for us in the south of the equator. And this morning's share will start with care of the hair, and we'll see how far we get. Maybe even also care of the nails and the other bit of the body. So starting with hair, number one thing to know about hair is it is asur to pull out hair on Shabbos. Asur to remove hair from the body. Doesn't matter whether it's on the hair, the beard, or any other place. And it's also even with a single hair. And therefore, one has to be careful. And also, it's also to do it with a utensil that is made for it, or to do it with something which is not made for it, like the hands. Use your hands to pull out hair is also asur on Shabbos. The difference would be that if it's the regular way, using scissors, a shaver, a hair cutting machine, something like that, there would be an issur d'oraisa, whereas to pull it out by hair would be an issur d'rabbanan, which would be a nafkamina in cases where it would be tzar, etc., etc. But basically, pulling out hair on Shabbos is also in all circumstances, and therefore everything we're going to do in connection with hair will take this into account. Scratching one's hair is permitted on Shabbos as long as it's done gently, where you don't intend on pulling out hairs and it's not for sure hairs are going to come out. As we've said many times, we'll say it again, there's a difference between a psikresha and a davar she'niskaven. Psikresha is when something, the secondary action is inevitable, whereas davar she'niskaven is it's not inevitable, you're not sure it's going to happen. Therefore, if you scratch your hair in a way that you for sure know hair is going to come out, that's a psikresha. Whereas if you scratch your hair in a way where you don't know hair is going to come out, so then it's a davar she'niskaven and will be permissible. But obviously, and if hair does come out, there's no problem because the actual action was permitted because it wasn't, the secondary result wasn't certain. But this is going to be we're going to go back to this again and again. As you said, pulling out hairs on Shabbos is asur, but scratching hair on Shabbos in a way that is not going to for certain pull out hairs is permitted. If a person has dandruff, so removing dandruff from hair is allowed, but you're not allowed to peel the dandruff off the skin. So if it's already detached and he wants to just fluff up his hair or scratch or whatever it is and get some of it out, as long as he's not pulling anything off and he's not pulling out any hair, or it's done in a way that it's not for certain it's going to happen, then it would be permissible. Using a brush or a comb, Poskim say that generally speaking, if you comb your hair or you use a very stiff, thick brush, that is considered a psikresha. There's for sure hair going to be pulled out, and therefore would be also to use such a utensil on Shabbos because of psikresha. Not only that, because this is the certain result that a hair might be removed, or hair will be removed, not might, otherwise it's psikresha, then these utensils actually become mukta on Shabbos. So a brush or a comb that is of the nature that when you use it, for sure a hair is going to come out, would be mukta on Shabbos. But a brush that is made of soft hair, a brush that is not very thick, or a comb that has a big space between the teeth, and therefore it's not for sure it's going to pull out any knots and hairs and all the rest, that would be not a problem of psikresha, it would be mukta to use. The Poskim point out, the Magen Avraham already says it, the Shabura brings it, that the minig is that there is a uvdin d'chol. Using such a utensil is a weekday activity, and therefore we avoid having such a utensil. And what we do is we make one specially for Shabbos, and that's where the idea comes from, that you have a Shabbos brush. So it's not just that the Shabbos brush is of a different nature than the weekday brush, meaning that it's softer and not as abrasive, and it's not for sure that it's going to pull out hairs, but also the Shabbos brush is called the Shabbos brush. It is set aside to be used as a Shabbos brush. Whereas the weekday brush, it's better not to. I say better, because although the Mishaburu says that there's a problem with Uptin D'chol, that looks like a weekday action, and therefore the item that you're using should be Mukta, he says the minig is to call it, to set it aside. And I saw that Rav Novad writes a lashon of Tov liyachid mivreshet miyuchad l'Shabbos. The correct thing is to set aside a brush for Shabbos. So from the date that is showing us carefully, it appears that it is the right thing to do. If you picked up the wrong one, that's not the end of the world. Now, when it comes to brushing hair, as we said, brushing hair has the problem that it pulls hair out, and pulling hair out is a problem of goizes. Goizes was the melacha of removing hair from skin in order to prepare the skin for making parchments or leather, and therefore any time you pull hair out, it's a problem of goizes. Taking feathers out of animals, it's also considered goizes. One of the interesting shaylos mentioned, Agav, is usually on Shabbos we say that a melacha has to be something positive, that you are being creative and not destructive. If you're being destructive, then it's not a melacha. Pulling hairs out is more considered destructive, not creative. Unless in the case of preparing the leather. So the pulling hair out of a piece of leather prepares the leather, so you're being creative. And your hair, where's the positive side to it? I just mentioned that it's a discussion, but the mice is going to come up that it's awesome, and therefore, however we learn it out, the fact that we understand that it's awesome. Now, when it comes to hair that is not connected to the body, so there's separate issues. So where do you get such a case? In the case of the shaitel, you have hair that is sewn to a base. And now the question is, can you brush that on Shabbos? Because there's no problem of goizes whatsoever on a sheitel. Excuse me. It's the hair of the sheitel not connected to the body, and only when you remove hair from the body is it considered goizes. But the Paschim all say that a sheitel in it has its own problems, and that is that there could be its makabe patish, could be that it's korea, and there are other melachos involved. When you remove knots, you're improving the sheitel, you're making it better, and therefore psak given by the contemporary Paschim is one may not comb or brush a sheitel the same way you cannot comb or brush your own hair. But if you use a soft brush, then you can gently brush it over in order to flatten the hair to straighten them out. But preferably you have it pre-brushed before Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you just put it back into shape. Your fingers, use a soft brush, use a Shabbos brush. And therefore, although the reason behind it is different, in hair attached to the body, it's a problem issue of goizes, whereas in sheitel would be an issue of makabe patish or korea or something like that. Nevertheless, the halacha, the practicals of how you do it, are the same. And therefore, again, not to use a comb or a brush that's for sure going to put hairs out. Putting in a hairpin or a hair clip into one's hair is permissible on Shabbos. You can put one in, you can put one out. So too, a comb that is used to hold the hair in place, a decorative comb, not a comb that's made for combing the hair, but a comb that is used for decoration to hold a hairband or hold the hair into place, that is permissible to push into your hair and leave it in place, even though through the putting it in, you're going to do some sort of combing, nevertheless, that is permissible. Putting hair oil on one's hair actually is permissible. It's interesting, there's different types of substances. I'm not a bucky in these things, but Rav Novad writes a lotion of brilantina is some sort of hair oil, which is liquid. And he says that may be used on Shabbos in small quantities. We don't want the hair to get too wet, that Chas v'Shalom first will come to squeeze the excess oil out, which we said already two weeks ago, that squeezing is also on Shabbos, including squeezing of hair. So if there's too much liquid in the hair, you'll come to squeeze it, so that will be very forbidden. But if it's a small amount, then actually hair oil will be permitted. But if it is thicker, of a thicker substance, which would be a type of cream or a gel, then it would be asur. And he gave an interesting name, said pomeda or something like that. Pomeda, I think is the word. I asked my wife about it, and she said, yeah, she knows what it is. It's some sort of old-fashioned hair gel. I guess old-fashioned in the fact that it's not used today, or not commonly used today, but it's that type of thick gel that's used on the hair that is also to apply on Shabbos. Now, interesting, the word shaitel is used in the Ramah, and not in the way that we use it today. A shaitel, what we refer to today, is a wig, is a artificial collection of hair that one can put on one's head to make look one like one's wearing hair. But a shaitel in the poskim is referring to making a part, a pathway. You have a parting in your hair. That's called a shaitel. And it seems to me that was the original use of the word. And what's it going to do with anything is that making a parting in your hair on Shabbos is not so simple to do on Shabbos. The way it is that one should not use a brush or a utensil to make the parting, but rather one should do it by hand. Some say to use a soft brush would be permissible. Some say it's just that it's not a question of brush, it's a question of hand. It doesn't matter what brush. But generally speaking, that making a parting, one has to be careful not to use, at least not to use a comb or a utensil like that to make a parting on Shabbos. Using hairspray to stiffen hair, even on a shaitel or on regular hair, to make a difference, is also on Shabbos. To spray perfume on hair, so that actually is interesting, as we discussed not so long ago. Moily Dreyach, we said, is an Isser on Shabbos. You cannot put some good smell into something on Shabbos. It could be that on food it would be permissible. And we say that on the body it is permissible. Therefore, applying perfume or deodorant to a human body is permissible. But applying it to other items like clothing or some other item would be also on Shabbos. Therefore, putting on perfume, you put it into your body but not into your clothing. So too, someone who wants to spray perfume into their hair, the same thing applies. You can put perfume onto natural hair, but you can't put perfume onto a shaitel. Making a braid on Shabbos, plait a braid, is asur. It's interesting why. And the poskim say that it's similar to boine, to building. Interesting. It's they learn it from an interesting drush. That we know that when Chava was made, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam to sleep and he took out a limb or a bone, tela, aside, and then he used that piece that he took out from Adam, Vayivenes HaTela, and he built this tela and made a woman out of it, and then he brought the woman to the man. And the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu braided her hair before he brought her to Adam HaRishon. And they learn it out from the words, Vayiven Esatela. He built the tela. The tela is that bone. And Vayiven Esatela is he braided her hair. So from that medrash, we learn that braiding hair is a form of building. So although it's not a daraisa, it's not like building a home, but it is a form of building. And therefore we say that to braid hair on Shabbos is asur. And the converse follows. That means that to undo a braid would also be asur on Shabbos. So you can make a ponytail, you can gather the hair together and put it in a gumi, that's not a problem. But to actually braid it and plait it is asur on Shabbos. And so to take it out would be asur on Shabbos. If you take out the holding gumi at the bottom, that in certain circumstances will be permissible. If when you take out the gumi, the whole braid just falls apart, so that would be considered as having undone it. That's a direct result of your action by taking the braid out. By taking the gumi out, the whole braid has fallen. That's considered taking the braid apart. But if it's one of those braids, it's going to hold for a while. And it's just through walking, moving, or something like that, it's going to come out. So there are those who say you can take the gumi out of the bottom and leave it. And then if it happens over the next while, that it comes undone, you sleep like that, or you walk and spend the day like that, then that's really a killer achayad. It's done in an indirect manner, and that would be permissible on Shabbos. Now, the braiding of hair, as you said, is asur. It is asur also in a shekel, not just in human hair, which then follows that it's asur to do on a doll as well. Obviously, that gets into the story of how we mechanech our children, discussed a long time ago, that essentially children, we do not tell them to do an isur, we do not give them things that are asur. The question is, at which age do we start taking them away, where we separate them from doing something that is asur? And so we said that once they've reached the age of chinuch and they know what Shabbos is about, so then it's correct. That at least is a obligation of a parent. Some say the father more than the mother, some say the boys more than girls, but basically speaking, it's the obligation of a parent to see to it that their children don't do malachus and Shabbos once they've reached the age of chinuch. But if you walk through the park and you see a kid climbing a tree and picking the leaves off the tree, which becomes an issur d'oraisa, pick up the leaves of a tree, climbing the trees of the rabbanon by picking the leaves of d'oraisa, essentially, if he's a little kid and he's not yours, then ignore it. You can't put him in a situation where he will do it. You can't feed a child something asur, and therefore you can't hand a issur to him either, but you can ignore the fact that he's doing it. Once he gets a little bit older and he gets even the age of chinuch, so then generally speaking, we say that it's the obligation of the parents to be mechanic their children and not to be mechanic someone else's children. Could be thin our parents available, maybe it becomes the Beis Din's responsibility, but generally speaking, that's how we look at it. And therefore, if you have a child who's playing with dolls, if the child is very young, then you can ignore it. If they're making braids, if they're getting older and they understand what Shabbos is, then it's correct to tell your child not to make braids in their doll's hair. Rolling hair or curling hair is also on Shabbos, as well as the use of rollers is also on Shabbos. Spraying hair with spray against lice is also on Shabbos. Well, actually, no. Sorry, not so simple. It is also if there are lice in the hair and the lice are going to die as a result of the spray. If it's that type of spray that will kill the lice immediately, then it is also. Because, again, killing on Shabbos. Issur on Shabbos, and if you know that it's going to happen, then it's a gratia, and even though you're spraying it to protect the hair from more lice arriving, but you're killing the lice that's there, it is only when you're uncertain that there's lice in the hair. If you know for sure, then it's also, but if you're uncertain, then you may spray the hair with anti-lice spray, as long as, you said, you're not certain you're going to end up killing it.
Hi, excuse me.
Sure.
There is an opinion that you can kill lice on Shabbos? I'm asking.
Yes, there is in halacha a difference between a kinah and a parash. Now, to explain the difference between a kinah and a parash in nowadays terms is hard to explain. But in the poskim, there are certain insects, I should call it, or certain bugs that are considered as growing from the dirt and are not due to regular forms of reproduction where you have a male and a female. And when they come from the dirt and they don't come as a result of reproduction, then they don't get the same din as regular creatures, and therefore the killing of them is not osur. And therefore, essentially in the poskim we say that killing lice is mutter on Shabbos because they're not considered as regular creatures. However, it's very hard to understand what it means that they don't reproduce and they arrive from the dirt. So it seems like you take something rotten and you leave it, and before you know it, it's full of worms. So where do those worms come from? They can't come from nowhere. So according to the way the simple explanation seems to be that there is, yes, dirt produces worms. Now what could be scientifically is that there are eggs and they're latent, and when the environment is right, when there's enough warmth and humidity and all the rest of the environment is prepared for it, so then the eggs will hatch and you'll get some sort of creatures, worms coming out. So then what does Chazal mean if you have creatures that don't reproduce through male and female, but they become mishaven mea afa, they appear from the dust? So a simple explanation is that it's not that Chazal were challenging what we understand to be scientific, but rather, we approach the world through our eyes, and we are not required to see things through a microscope. And when you have a creature where you see there are eggs, and you know there's the regular reproductive system, so then we understand that this is a normal creature, and therefore you may not kill it. But something which is so small that it appears that it is just appearing, so even though if you put it under the microscope, you might find that there was something happening over here, there was an egg beforehand, there was a mother, there was a father, etc. Nevertheless, to us, with the naked eye, it appears to be appearing. That seems to be one of the explanations I saw in Achronim, and therefore you have cases where we consider infestation of certain bugs or worms or that type of thing, where they are A, they might not be treif. We talk about worms that appeared in fruit that didn't come from the outside, or there's no problem of killing them on Shabbos, because they're not considered as having being the regular form of the creature. So it's not that Allah is going to argue with science as to how they came about, is that we need to see things through our own eyes, and the way we see it didn't happen, and therefore that's how we approach it, that's how we deal with it, la halacha. So yes, there is a halacha that says that killing lice is permissible on Shabbos. Today we're not aware of which exact creature was called a louse, and which one was called a kina, which one was called a parosh, which one was bigger, which one was smaller, and which one comes from parents, which doesn't come from parents. And therefore, the accepted halacha today is that we don't kill any creatures that we see on Shabbos because we don't know. But yes, the answer to your question is that there is such a thing as it's mutter to kill lice. Taking out lice is also on Shabbos. So if you have an unfortunate circumstance where there's a child scratching himself or he needs to have some lice removed, one cannot remove them on Shabbos, for sure not with a comb, and even not with a by hand. Those are halachas that have to do with hair.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
When it comes to rollers for the hair, so you can get ones that are made of Velcro, and you put them in the shaitel to preserve the style of the hair. Now, it doesn't make more curls, but it preserves the curls. Is there any heter to use that?
I don't know. Interesting, there's a footnote over here in the Shmuel Shabbos Kilchoso. It talks about people who have curls payers. So it says, you often see the chassidim who have their nice long payers. They walk around and they're curling their payers. The whole day they walk around and curling their payers. So you want to tell me that the whole day they're over and it's all on Esau Shabbos? So he says, no, there's a limit to us. That those who have curled payers, and they're curled from before Shabbos, and they're just holding the curl in place, so they're just making the curl maybe tighter, but they're not creating the curl. So he says, less be mishum boine. Curling seems to be from the same issue as making a braid. If there's a problem of boine, you're creating something in the hair. And if it's there already, and you're just enhancing it, then perhaps it will be mutter. He uses the lashon of a limud zchus. I don't know if he wants to say it's mutter, it says, but you're a lamed zchus. So I don't know whether to say using those type of curlers are mutter, but if you see someone doing it, the zikha is a limud zchus on them, that once the curls are there ready from before Shabbos, and you're just putting them in to keep them, so that when Shabbos morning comes, they're still there, from what I see over here, it would be mutter. I don't know, but I'm just adding that in. Okay. Nails. Nails on Shabbos. One may not cut nails on Shabbos. Again, cutting a nail with a utensil that is made for it, scissors or clippers, is an issur d'oraisa. Again, it's goyzes. But doing it by hand is considered a kira achayad, and therefore it is only also midrabanan. It's still also, but it's often midrabanan. Therefore, biting teeth is a kira achayad. Biting nails is kila achayad, and therefore is not an issu d'oraisa, but it is an issu d'rabbanan. The naftamina of all this is if a person is in a situation where they have to cut their nail on Shabbos, and they didn't do it before Shabbos, can happen if a woman has to go to mikveh, so then there's mokum to be makel to do it in the d'rabbanan manner, is to bite them or to break them by hand and not to use a kli, or to get a goy to do it. And then when the goy does it, it's an amira la'akum, and that's already a second, that's already a derabanan, and a b'maka mitzvah. So there are ways and means of discussing it. It is for the, if a person gets into that situation and need to cut the nails on a Friday night, then they should speak to a rov and get a proper guidelines of how it's done. And this is why we're saying that there's a difference, that's a difference when it's d'oraisa derabanan, as to knowing when one can be maker, when one has to be machmer in cases of urgent need. So too, as we said, regarding combing hair, you have to know whether it's a psikreish or double shame is covered, if it's hair going to come out, not going to come out, all those are shilas. If they come up on a Friday night, usually the balaniyot are well trained and taught what to do in these cases. But that's the background to it is you have to make sure you do it in the derabbanan nika. Now, different to hair is that there is a case, a nail that has broken off. And once it is mostly broken off. Not just a little bit, but most of the nail has broken off. And it's almost going to be detached. So from now, if there is tsar, or there's going to be tsar, it's bothering you, or it's going to be bothering you, then it's permissible to separate the rest of the nail on Shabbos, as long as it's done in the Darabonim way, meaning you do it by hand, and you don't do it with a scissors or a utensil. So if you have a nail that has come off, and rove of the nail, the majority part of the nail has come off, so then one may complete the separation process by hand and not by utensil. If you have dirty fingernails and you want to clean the dirt underneath its fingernails, that's not a problem. You can use even a utensil. Just be careful not to scratch the nail to the extent that you're actually grinding it down, but otherwise you can remove dirt from under a fingernail. Applying nail polish of any sort, whether it is colorful or see-through, is also on Shabbos. It is considered as tzoveya, and even though a transparent nail polish essentially has no color, the poskim just compare it to like shining shoes, where you're making them shiny, and something which was dull and now made shiny through the application of a color or application of something would be close to the idea of tzoveya, and therefore the poskim say that it's also on Shabbos. Taking it off on Shabbos is a little bit more complicated, meaning that it's not so clear what is the issue to take it off on Shabbos. As you said, to put it on is tzoveya. Tzoveya is not one of those malachs that has negative. You have boni, you have sosi, of course, you have mati, you have koisev and moichik. You have your writing and erasing, building and destroying, but you don't have painting and unpainting. So essentially, what's wrong with taking nail polish off on Shabbos? The Maaseh has brought down that it is considered asur, one should not take off nail polish on Shabbos. But again, we see that it is not clear cut, and therefore in cases of need, then again, shaila should be made, but you know that you can make a shaila because there is a way to take it off, even using acetone. The problem is that you can't use an absorbent material because if you apply pressure, then it's going to be schita. But you can, in cases of need, nail polish can be removed on Shabbos. To remove cuticles or any other piece of skin that is loose on the body is also, if you have a piece of skin that is in your lips, or fingers, or something like that, most annoying things that we have. The smallest things are the biggest annoyance, but they are problematic on Shabbos. You cannot pull them off. You cannot detach them from the body. Even just to break off the part that's already loose without tearing more off is also asur. There's no way around that. On the more difficult things than Shabbos, I think, when it comes to things that are annoying. Using lipstick on Shabbos is asur, even a non-colorful lipstick, because not only is there a problem with tzoveya, but there's also a problem of namachik, which comes on a stick. So there would be a problem of using that on Shabbos. To use powder on Shabbos is essentially permitted, but if it is mixed with some sort of cream or something like that, so then it will be a problem to use it on Shabbos. Then you can't use it if it's made with some sort of material and it stick properly onto the skin.
And the powder with tzoveya, I mean, if there's a color?
So it seems to be that the powder alone, even if it has a bit of color, seems to be not a problem to apply on Shabbos. The question is how to apply it.
And if it's perfumed?
The perfume, as we said, on the body is not a problem. It's only on material. So there is a thing that we say, generally, interesting, tzoveya doesn't apply to skin, just like perfume doesn't apply to skin, and a lot of things don't apply to the body. But when the color is done for the sake of the color, then we become more strict. We say the same thing when it comes to coloring, when it comes to food. To put spices into food and the food's going to change color is not a problem. To put coloring into food for the sake of color is a problem. It comes to the big question when you have today where a lot of things you add the food coloring in for the color. So you make a drink where we know that it's essentially sugar water and flavoring, and they added red coloring so that you think it came from raspberries. So the red coloring, you're interested in the red coloring because otherwise no one's going to drink it. No one's going to know that this is not sugar water. They're going to think it's plain water, but not the raspberry flavored sugar water. So Lamai says Ashkenazim, we're more machmir, that's right, we're more mekel. The same thing, mix your white wine and your red wine if you're interested in the color. We try to be more machmir on it. But essentially, ein tzviya ba'ochlin, there's no problem of making color in ochlin. And essentially also, there's no problem making color, with, on the body. However, when it's done for the sake of color, so then we more mind. So
because you think Shabbos makeup where they put color on powder.
Sorry, say that again.
There's such a thing as Shabbos makeup where they've colored powder, put that on their skin.
Right. So it seems to be that this type of powder, if it's just a powder and it adds a light amount of color, it seems to be that I've seen that I've considered as mutter to use. What Rav Novit brings here is when the powder's got something added to it, like a cream, so then will be also to use. What I'm just bothered by is, blush is essentially a bit of a powder that's solidified in some sort of, block, and then you brush it and then brush it onto the face, which seems to be that it's also to use, maybe because of the fact that it's not a powder and it's more of a something that is a gush, it's more of a solid. But the question is that when it's done for the sake of color, you see that it's also for a woman to put dough on her face and pull it off. That's what they did in the olden days in order to bring out the redness of the skin. You put dough on it, you let it dry a bit, and then you pulled it off and let the skin all red. Instead of using blush, they use dough. Where's the coloring in that? But we see that there is coloring. So I need to give it a little bit more thought. I see we're anyway at the end of the session. So we'll hold it from here. Next week in Mitzvah Shem, we'll go more into detail on coloring and makeup and those type of things.
Thank you.
Okay. Wishing everybody a good day and a good week.
Thank you.